Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. For many, turning 65 or 70 means retirement. But some would rather keep working and others have to keep working. This morning, we're going to talk about what will happen to the workforce if not enough people opt to stay in once they reach retirement age. Joining me are Job Search Focus Group President and President of SOAR with Purpose, Bob Poutke, Interim Executive Director of Senior Services of Northern Kentucky, Ken Recton, and President of Johnson Resource Group, Greg Johnson. We'd like to hear your questions and your comments. Email them to us at impact@wvxu.org. or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, certainly glad to have you all here. I'd like to start out sort of talking about a couple of scenarios. And I think that this is sort of the way I see it, and maybe there are other categories that I'm not aware of. But when you get to retirement age, you have those people that who are eager to retire and do retire. And you have those people who are eager to retire but can't afford to retire, so they keep working. You also have those people who have absolutely no interest in retiring and don't and keep working, and those people who have no interest in retiring but are just not healthy enough to keep working and are forced to retire. Now, have I forgotten anybody there?
There is one group that we need to talk about a little bit, and it's a group before retirement. It's the 55-plus contingent, from 55 to 65. We usually use that 65 age as the retirement point, but there's another whole group that were affected by the recession and by layoffs and by early buyouts that now do want to get back in and are having difficulty getting back into the workforce.
Let's talk a little bit about that. So you have people that are 55, 60 years old, got laid off and are looking for work and now are trying to decide where to go. Maybe they haven't been able to find a job. What's your advice?
Well, it's Bob can talk a little bit more about this, but it's a retooling effort. It's an effort to reset your skill set, Bob?
Yeah, very much it's about knowing who you are and what you have to offer. And too frequently, these job seekers are too locked into, I did this or I did this title. And so that's the only title I can do, when they have way more transferable skills. They've learned a lot, they've been trained a lot, and they can apply that in a lot of other ways. But they put blinders on themselves. So they don't really know who they are and what those skills are that they can deliver to the marketplace.
There's also a confidence issue. They need to be confident that they can get back in and do some of the things they've done for so long, but also be willing to change and be open to new things as well.
Now, one of you all have a task force that you're working on in Northern Kentucky to try to help folks with this. And one of the areas that I think is of great concern to you all is that if these folks don't get back into the workforce, as boomers continue to retire, the workforce is going to have a shortage of workers. Is that accurate?
It is very accurate. In fact, Rick Jordan from LSI talks about, and this is
LSI.
It's a lighting company that manufactures lighting product. And he's just talking about the Northern Kentucky market, and we want to approach this, number one, as a regional aspect in the whole Tri-County region or Tri-State region. But Rick talks about a need for 600 employees per year for the next 10 years, and that group of manufacturing group can only identify 300 per year coming out of trade schools or high schools or colleges, and there's going to be a definite shortage of employees to fill that need. The younger folks are just not, the population isn't growing. The older folks are growing and the population's growing because we're not passing away. It's a lack of mortality that increases this base.
It's kind of an interesting problem, a way to look at it, I guess.
Lack of mortality.
It's a really serious problem for individuals, because this unemployment, especially for those that have been employed for a long period of time, we're talking 55 to 75 kind of thing, all of a sudden are unemployed, and so their identity is lost. It's an erosion of self-confidence, which then erodes families, and we're seeing that more and more, unfortunately, and it erodes our region, our economy. So, I mean, this is really an insidious disease in my book.
Do you think it's important, though, do any of those folks maybe really want to retire and are able to afford it and just should retire, or is there that great of a concern that if too many people take that path that the region will be in trouble?
I'm finding more and more people want to work or have to work. Those who can't afford to retire and do retire, I mean, or they prolong their retirement, I don't think that's hurting the economy at all. I think it's all this talent that's sitting idle that's hurting our economy. And we need to find ways to be able to train them, retool them, get them back in the workforce and help grow this economy.
Well, let's not only talk about those folks that have lost a job that are 55 and older and want to find a job and working. There are people who probably have jobs right now and are trying to decide, should they stay in their current job? Once they get to a certain age, should they be looking for something different? Maybe they want to work part-time. What's your advice to people in that age range, even if they are employed right now?
I think there's some good product out there to read and to look at. There's a lot talked about Encore lately about how, you know, what does that second career, second act, second performance, whatever it is, look like? And to begin thinking about, what do I want to do? Should begin, you know, 50, 55 years old. What do I want to do with the remainder of my life, and how do I want to see that?
There is so much talent out there, and we're facing that issue of the prejudices, if you will, or the obstacles with some of the employers out there. I'm not going to deny it. I don't think anybody can deny that there are some prejudices about older people hiring older people. But the old adage about I've forgotten more than some of these younger folks have even learned. I mean, it's really true, and I think they're a very, very valuable commodity out there. People out there, and part of our task force, and I know we'll get in a little bit later, is also not only educating the candidates or people looking for new opportunities, it's also educating the employers about the value that these people bring to the workforce.
You know, Mary, and for both the un and the underemployed in this 55 plus age range, more of those folks are wanting to give back, and they're wanting to use their talent to help better society. So many of them, it's like, I don't need to go and do the same kind of work I did before, or I don't need to be on the same treadmill, but I want to give back. And there's nonprofits that are really the fuel that helps society in general are in desperate need of that kind of talent. And so part of it is encouraging those workers to go and find that their social passion and then connecting with opportunity. And there's plenty of opportunity.
Now, are you talking about volunteer work or are you talking about actually getting paid?
Both. And there's a need for both. There's a market for both. And there's a desire on the individual's part, you know, depending on the person in their situation. I can go and volunteer. Just help me find a place. And I don't want to just show up someplace and staple paper. I want to be productive. I want to make an impact. But there are also pay opportunities.
You talk about how businesses and people that are hiring are looking and perhaps do have prejudices against folks that are older. What about the situation of technology? Because I know just here in the radio business, the technology is shooting forward by such leaps and bounds. And it seems to me that people that, and I'm 51, but people that are younger than I am, adapt to it so quickly, and I think I adapt relatively quickly. I'm not afraid of it, which means I sometimes push wrong buttons, but you know, but I'm not afraid of it.
Here's one now.
But I don't necessarily adapt quite as quickly, and I think people that are 10 years or 15 years older than I am find that adaptation maybe comes in, to some people, not everybody, even more slowly. Is that technology outburst that's going on right now going to affect people's ability to find jobs when all that new technology is almost everywhere you work?
Absolutely, yes. That's an easy answer to that. And it's part of the prejudice, by the way, but it's also one of the obstacles it's automatically assumed sometimes that older people don't have the technology skills. Some of them do. I mean, a lot of them do. But it's also one of the obstacles. It's one of the educational issues that we have in re-educating, retooling, as Bob had said, the candidates who are looking for positions, because they need to get up with the technology. Yes.
We recently had a half-day seminar and questioned the 110 people that were there, and they self-identified that as something that they need help in skill set development with regard to technology. So it's definitely understood as an obstacle in the 55 plus.
Well, what do you advise people then? I mean, go hang out with your grandkids more?
Not a bad idea, but not a bad idea at all. Training, and that's something that we'll talk about in a minute maybe, but that's part of our task force, is we are seeking to provide that kind of training to update their skills. We just had a meeting earlier this morning, and that was one of the things we're going to look into, is providing some training on technical skills.
I
was going to say, sometimes either side, both the buyer, the employer, and the seller, the employee or potential employee, paint this technology thing with a little bit too wide of a brush. You know, oh, I'm old, and therefore I'm technologically incapable of performing. Well, that's not true in most cases. So there are things they can do. Certainly, as Greg said, go get yourself retrained, retooled, stay current, and do all of that. There's also a bias on the buyer or employer front. Sometimes they paint, well, if they're of such and such an age, they can't help us technologically. And there's just untruths in some of that.
Talk to us a little bit about the task force. Tell us what your task force is doing, how long it's been around, what's it all about?
You know, it was about a year ago, January of last year, that we started getting together. And a gentleman that works for us, Charles Brewer, says it pretty well. He says, what happens in the editor's backyard is what ends up on the front page of the paper. And frankly, I had the experience of during the recession of being cut from a bank and understood how difficult it was to get back in at the age of 60. It gave me time to reflect on what I wanted to do, but it really made me focus on there's a whole lot of people out there in a similar situation. And the mission of SSNK is to foster and support independence and dignity. And
senior
what is
citizens of Northern Kentucky.
Yeah, senior citizens of Northern Kentucky. And what is more fostering and supporting of independence and dignity than gainful employment or employment that's purposeful, as Bob says? Yeah.
So the group meets, and you've recently had a seminar.
We did.
Tell us about that.
Talk about the focus groups, too, as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, we conducted a couple of employer focus groups. So we invited employers from across the region to come on in and answer questions and tell us about, you know, what's their view of this 55-plus population? What are their biases? And they were very candid. They shared where they had, this is our perception, but they also shared some really key advice on help the job seeker know that there are things that they can do to help us understand how they can help our business. So these, that's kind of like market research, so we understand what the buyer is looking for. And then last week we held a seminar. Greg, why don't you talk about that?
It was a fantastic seminar, workshop, whatever you wanted to call it, where we provided individual sessions on networking, on how to work with an executive recruiter, with what were some of the other topics that we had.
What are the obstacles that you faced?
Yeah, some of the obstacles that
And who can come to these? Are you going to have more?
Yes, we will. We don't know. They may be more specific in nature, like how to write a resume or how to prepare for an interview or how to
use a smartphone.
use a smartphone, and that's definitely something how to work in social media, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, all those type of things. But yes, it was that one was open to the public.
So we do have some links on our website to your organization. So if people want to go to wvxu.org to the impact page, and you can find links to all of that as well. We're going to continue our discussion in just a moment. We're talking about the aging workforce and people that want to keep working after 55 and what they can do to make sure they're able to do that. We hope you'll continue to listen.
Support comes from the U.S. Department of Commerce, U.S. Commercial Service, hosting its 7th annual Hot Market Watch Conference Thursday, April 4th at the Cintas Center, providing market updates and resources for companies interested in selling to India, Indonesia, Russia, and South Korea. Luncheon moderated by media partner WVXU's Ann Thompson. Information at hotmarketwatch.com.
Support comes from the Fairfield Community Arts Center, presenting Nashville-based singer-songwriter Jonathan Kingham, Saturday, March 9th at 8 p.m., easily straddling the folk and country worlds, Jonathan Kingham is winning fans with his lush string arrangements, deft storytelling, and quick wit. Tickets at fairfield-city.org or 513-867-5348. Support comes from the Kenwood by Senior Star, Cincinnati's premier retirement community, which offers monthly leases on independent apartments and a full array of healthcare services to support an active lifestyle. For directions or to inquire about a personalized visit, you can go to seniorstar.com.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mary Ann Zalesnik. We're talking this morning about working past 55 and finding a job if you've lost your job over if you're over 55, and also what the role of the workforce will be in a few years, and perhaps the need for people to enter the workforce if they're a little older and not particularly retiring at 62. My guest today, Job Search Focus Group President and President of SOAR with Purpose, Bob Poutke, Interim Executive Director of Senior Services of Northern Kentucky, Ken Recton, and President of Johnson Resource Group, Greg Johnson. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Impact@WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook. I'm going to get to those questions in just a moment. Ken, you want to talk a little bit more about the task group, the task force that you were all on, and how it was all put together?
You know, Marianne, I wanted to emphasize how broad a spectrum of people are involved in this. There are people from the Chamber of Commerce involved. There are people from the aging services population. There are people from training of workforce. There's people from executive recruitment as well as outplacement. And there's folks from AARP as well. So it was a real broad spectrum of people all having interests in this population. So I think it's worthy to note that it was really quite a nice group to get together.
There are also several employers that are very concerned about it and part of the task force on the periphery. So we're very happy to have them involved too. And they recognize the issues, and it's good to have them recognizing those issues.
Now, we do have a lot of folks listening who are coming from a different perspective here. And this is from David, who says, if we want to ensure a highly skilled, talented, and motivated workforce, how do we balance seniority privilege programs like tenure with talent and recruitment development for younger generations who are just entering the workforce for the first time? So if older workers don't leave the workforce, theoretically making jobs available for the younger generations, then we have to depend on gross workforce demand increases, which may or may not happen. So how do we make sure the right job is matched with the right person, regardless of age?
What I am finding, Marianne, is that seniors aren't demanding those senior privileges that David's referring to. I understand what he's saying, and sometimes I have felt like I've been on a one-person crusade to tell companies that we can't give the same amount of vacation to someone who's new to a company, or as someone just starting in their career, as someone who's had a lot of tenure in their career. But regardless of that, I think these senior privileges are not really desired, and they're not demanded by some of the seniors. As a matter of fact, a lot of them are willing to give some concessions for benefits and seniority privileges.
I also think the diversity of this may not be directly what David was asking, but building a diverse workforce that includes age diversity should strengthen that and create more demand and create more value, which would then open up more jobs. And I think that's where the economic growth comes from. I don't think it's from displacing one age group or one other demographic to another.
This is similar from Monica, who says, similar to other questions she's heard, she has nieces and nephews in Cincinnati who are recent college graduates. Several have graduate degrees. They seem to have a tough time finding a job in the Cincinnati area, commensurate with their education, and she thinks the retirement of the boomers is a good thing, opening up fields like education and healthcare to young people.
I mean, the numbers are bad. The employment numbers are bad at both ends of that age spectrum,
right.
And they are really the worst of the demographics.
So
that
if
you look
you're 40, you're in great shape for finding a job. Or
I don't know 35, about great shape, but numbers wise, arguably a little bit better shape. Presumably, I don't think the issue is how do we displace one age group over the other, but how do we get this talent that developed, and the talent is already developed, working, and grow the economy, because that's what will grow more jobs and increase that demand.
And again, as we mentioned earlier, there will be a shortage, no matter what age group that is. I agree completely with Bob. I don't think there's a...
When is this all going to happen, though? You talk about how as boomers start to retire, there is going to be a need for more people in the workforce. Is that going to happen? I mean, boomers are just getting to retirement age for the past year or two, maybe three. I don't remember exactly what the start is. I know I'm at the very end of that boomer generation. But for folks that are going to be retiring more and more as time goes on, is it going to be 5 years from now that you think this big need for these folks is going to be there? Is it going to be next year? When do you see it happening?
Well, I think it's happening right now. And even that indication from that study done by the manufacturing group in Northern Kentucky indicates that there's a need now over the next 10 years for 600 people every year, and yet they're only able to identify 300. So I think it's real right now. Now, I would concede that maybe those skills that are needed by them are not exactly what this population or that college graduate just coming out of school is able to give to it. But sometimes we need to adapt to the economy that presents itself to us. And I think the need is happening now.
There are employers across this region that tell us every single day, we have jobs that are going unfilled. And so that doesn't get as much notoriety as the unemployed number, but there is some mismatch. If both are true, and as best I can tell, it's factually true, we have this unemployed amount, but we have this demand that's going unfilled. So we're either not matching them up or there's a talent shortfall.
This comes from Debbie, who says, what resources are available for professionals over 60 who want to create a new career, not just find a job?
That'll be part of what we're talking about as we move forward. We really want to take the time and digest the information that we've gotten from this first seminar with regard to those potential candidates or employees going back into the workforce and help ascertain what they need to do. We envision more seminars, more workshops, more opportunities to contemplate on what have I done in my past for that senior? What do I want? What skill sets have I developed? And what do I really envision my next 30 years in, quote, retirement or whatever we call that to be? What my second act looks like? And then the last component to that is how do I get there? What are the tools that I need to develop and what are the actions that I need to do to get to that next phase? That educational component is something that this task force wants to work towards.
There are groups around town that that can help. Mm-hmm. Job Search Focus Group, for a shameless plug right there, can help. My suggestion would be is that we take a look at what we have and what our passions are, what our interests are, and then go find places. And there's ways to do that research, either in the for-profit world or the not-for-profit world. And there are not-for-profits out there that are looking for volunteers and have paid positions that might suit, you know, that particular caller's question.
If you have a question or a comment, you can email us, impact@wvxu.org, or post on our Facebook page. This is from somebody who doesn't want to be named. I agree that you need to retool. However, employers really don't want to hire older workers, no matter how transferable your skills.
I would disagree, respectfully disagree on
well, what
that.
What are the companies? Tell me, I mean, are there companies that really you know are well known for being willing to hire folks that are over 55?
I know Ken just talked to an employer. I don't know if we...
No, go ahead.
We don't want to name those, but who said, I would take tens of people who fall into that age category if I could get them into the 55-plus age category.
Well, we can't name them. We got to find out who they are so we can match these folks up.
One of our goals, Marianne, is to address that. And as we see it, the future actions of the group are to develop an advocacy position and someone that's going to go out and advocate for that 55-plus to those employers.
Yes.
And to identify those and help them then connect with and to dispel those myths and preconceptions about us. One of the preconceptions, and let's address this one, is that we won't stay a long time at an employment. But in honesty, the average employee across the whole spectrum stays 3.7 years. We're going to stay. And as a senior, we're going to commit to it. There are certain things that we need to do. The other things is we're inflexible. We need to tell employers we're not inflexible. In fact, we don't have to get Johnny off to school in the morning. We don't have to pick Susie up for soccer practice in the afternoon. We can work later hours, a variety of hours. Many of us, too, are willing to accommodate 30 hours a week or 20 hours a week versus a 40. So the potential for job matching of two for one, two employees for one job, and job sharing is really prevalent within this age group. So I think we need to dispel those rumors and really get that group of employers out there that are willing to take these in.
Now, what type of work are we talking about? You know, when you get to a certain age, being a server, a waiter, a waitress is hard work. Working mm-hmm. in construction is hard work. And some folks, when they get 55 and older, are not... do you find that those are really jobs for younger people, or are there people 55 and older but still want to do that physical labor?
I think there's a combination of both. There are some positions where you're just not going to have people over 60 that can physically handle that. Our focus has been somewhat on the professional level, and we have people willing to work at that level. But
are there types of work then, separate from nonprofits, which I know you've mentioned, that really have the type of work that you think would be suitable to folks who are over 55?
Certainly call center work. Call center work, for instance, requires the ability to deal with a caller, with a client, with a question, to be able to give first-level answers, be able to route that particular question to somebody else. So if you take somebody, arguably, with experience and customer service kinds of capabilities, you know, that might be a great position for them. It might be a wonderful match for the employer as well, just to mention one.
Any other ideas?
I think anybody in the business who has been in the business world in any professional levels, at any level in the professional world, certainly has very transferable and continued skill sets that you can continue in the marketplace. So I think at any age, for that matter.
I mean, if you look at American business over the last 15, 20 years really gutted the whole middle management ranks. And it was the whole outsourcing and the downsizing thing. Well, those people that were outsourced and have done work in those ensuing 10 or 15 years have a wealth of experience and can fill jobs, as Ken said, you know, in a five-year time frame that businesses need, you know, planning kinds of jobs, executing kinds of jobs, not executing as in the...
executing their skills.
Yeah, even recently, I got a call from pertaining to this. Ken, I'm looking for someone in HR development that does more recruitment, not the clerical work, but does the recruitment in the healthcare field. The healthcare field's huge, and there's a real need for finding entry-level positions and doing. And I want someone, Ken, from your age demographic to help in that, because I believe that they would have the skills to do that. So there are opportunities out there. Now, at this juncture, it's matching those people that attended that workshop with us to this need and finding if they're interested in filling that need.
So if people are interested in any of your information, I'm going to advise them to go to our website to link to all of your organizations, and that's WVXU.org, and it's on the Impact page. I do have one final comment from someone on our Facebook page who I promised I would mention, although it's not really part of the discussion here. He says, this is from Chip, who says, the decision to continue working is not always ours to make. It's worth discussing with those continuing to work through their 60s and beyond should still plan financially as though they will not. And I guess that you probably have found that there are some people who would like to keep on working and just can't.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to get that on before we end up. We're out of time. Thank you all for being here. It was great.
Thank you very much for having us. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. My guests today were Job Search Focus Group President and President of SOAR with Purpose, Bob Poutke, Interim Executive Director of Senior Services of Northern Kentucky, Ken Recton, and President of Johnson Resource Group, Greg Johnson. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.